This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, a homeschool father of five. Been homeschooling for nigh onto, 52 years at this point. Multiple generations going back to 1968. My children homeschooled out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado for the last 30 years and all graduated from their homeschool. And we're on to the fourth generation, I guess you would say, as blessed with the three grandchildren. So, but the urgency with which we bring this radio broadcast to thousands of families around the world just increases with each and every episode because, friends, we are facing some of the most intense attacks upon children that we have seen in the history of mankind. I don't think there has been such a concerted effect or interest on the part of the principalities and powers that control Hollywood and the educational systems. There really hasn't been a concerted work on the part of those institutions that control the minds and the hearts of hundreds of millions, if not billions, of children around the world to capture their hearts and minds with foreign worldviews, as we have seen in the last 100 years. And it's only increasing in its intensity and its perversion as well. It's hard to believe that we're at the point at which kindergartners are encouraged to transgender themselves, and K-12 schools are being transgendered, and the bathrooms are being transgendered as rapidly as they are with the encouragement of the President of the United States. That kind of thing was not happening in 2012. It wasn't happening in 2008. It wasn't happening in 2002. It wasn't happening in 1992. It wasn't happening in 1962. It certainly wasn't happening in 1942. It certainly was not happening in 1242 Europe. No. The craziness with which we are working as hard as possible, at least in our institutions, to corrupt the minds of the young folks is intense. It is mind-blowing. And John MacArthur, pastor from California, recently described this as a war on children. Quote-unquote, what we are facing today is fierce. I will confess of all the things that disturb me in the culture, of all the horrific, sinful, wretched, wicked, corrupt influences that go on in this culture, I think the thing that distresses me most is the war on children. And, he targets his message to parents. He compares this war on children to pagan child sacrifice. Again, John MacArthur preaching recently, people are still sacrificing their children today, though the idols are different. The dominant idol is self. And so children are sacrificed to the gods of self. Parents sacrifice their born children to the fires of secular education and the god of human knowledge and foolishness so their children can profess to be wise while they're ungodly fools, just like their teachers. Parents sacrifice their children to the priests of immoral entertainment, to the gods of perversion who are seducing defenseless youth into the darkness and death of homosexuality, transgenderism, pornography. Parents offer their children to the liars who control and abuse them through the media, who are the agents, the high priests of soul corruption. Well, this guy is taking the gloves off. Wow. Things are far more intense now, I would say, than they have been. We are achieving what I would call DEFCON 1. We have worked our way up from DEFCON 3 to DEFCON 2 to DEFCON 1 in terms of the urgency of this war, the war on children. And it's time now that that parents are serious about this issue. It's time for parents everywhere. We're talking about 100% of Christian parents, certainly evangelical parents, should consider these things seriously and pull their children out of schools that are encouraging a form of education that does not teach the beginning of wisdom and knowledge as the fear of God, but rather teaches the modern ethics of homosexuality and transgenderism. The time has come. The time has come. James Dobson was encouraging people to take their kids out of the public schools in the early 1990s. A few other pastors would step up to the plate and say like things, but then now here we are, Pastor John MacArthur, making the statements in black and white terms, just about as severe terms as I could ever imagine. Well, today, joining me on the Generations broadcast is E. Ray Moore. He is the president of ExodusMandate.org, and he is also involved with PublicSchoolExit.com. And he joins us now on the Generations broadcast. Welcome back, Ray. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, and it's great to see you again. Actually, we are visiting by phone. But I think we last visited at the Answers in Genesis conference. I guess that's been 7 or 8 years ago, and it was quite a time where a lot of the leaders came together.
Yeah, and we've been encouraging the homeschooling movement. You've been encouraging the homeschooling movement for well, probably 25, 30 years. I've been at it in leadership here in the state of Colorado since 1999. That would have been 22 years. Spoke at my first homeschooling conference in 1986 out in Paso Robles, California. And so, you know, we've seen a movement increase from a very small minority to a rather large minority of American children. And so that's encouraging, isn't it?
It's absolutely breathtaking and exciting to be here. And you know, and you and I both have some leadership roles in this movement. And to be there at the beginning, my wife Gail and I started homeschooling our oldest son in 1977 when I was finishing up my theological seminary training at Grace Seminary in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even know another homeschool family for about 4 or 5 years. So to go from that to where we are today is rather breathtaking. And honestly, Kevin, I think we could be on the verge of a new reformation of some kind.
Well, I would hope so. I think the First Reformation left it off at the college. In fact, some of John Knox's dying words were, "Beware of the universities." And I include that comment in "Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West." And I really think the battle over the universities did not even begin at the First Reformation. It's really... the battle over education, over the universities, is hot and heavy right now, and we're in the thick of it. This is the battle. These are the front lines of the battle of the worldviews, and I would hope that the pastors would enter the fray. And I'm thankful that John MacArthur did. I mean, that's heartwarming to know that, you know, there are pastors like John MacArthur entering into it. Were you surprised at some of these recent comments?
Not really. I thought they were a little bit in some time in coming, but you know, we know you know what he's done in the past, and of course I've used some of his commentaries and books to help me in my preparations and training as a minister myself. But I was delightfully surprised. Now, I didn't see those comments fully. I'm seeing so much information, I didn't actually see them all. But yeah, I knew he had done that, and I was real thankful.
Are there other pastors across America that are taking the gloves off and saying it's time to get out of the public schools?
Well, that is improving, but I did write a little pamphlet. I hated to do it, and I think I sent you a copy called "Pastors Taking Cover, Moral Courage for the Pulpit." And what precipitated me writing that was ACSI, I think, in 2016, did a survey. They paid the Barna Group to do a survey of evangelical pastors and their attitude toward K-12 Christian schooling. I believe it was mostly about schooling rather than homeschooling. And they were just shocked that only 10% of conservative pastors, like you and me, aggressively and very strongly supported Christian K-12 Christian education, and then another 20 to 25% were moderately supportive. And by that, I think they meant that they would have their children in a Christian school or homeschool, but they might not aggressively preach and teach on it in their congregations. And it was pretty shocking to see how weak the clergy are. And by that, I'm not talking about liberal clergy. I'm talking about Bible-believing clergy are in committing to this idea. But we've seen, just in a year, an incredible improvement among pastors. Let me give you two cases. I'm working with publicschoolexit.com, and I'd urge your audience to look at that. It's a broad evangelical movement with the emphasis on getting out of the public schools and giving them techniques and, you know, ways to do that. And we had a conference in Orlando. I wasn't there, but Alex Newman and Dran Reese, who are part of the board of publicschoolexit.com, attended. And there were 250 pastors that attended, a 2-day event.
Oh, wow.
And a third of them were Hispanic or black pastors. Not even conservative particularly, and they're all concerned about their children and getting their kids out of public school. It was pretty shocking. 10 years ago, we couldn't have gotten five pastors together like that. And then Illinois, of all places, we have an affiliate there called Institute, and they have had a series of meetings 2 weeks ago across the state of Illinois. I think there were different locations, and they had 1,000 pastors show up in 6 different locations to talk about getting their kids out into Christian schools, homeschooling. So this is a new thing that we're seeing, and so we've really got to encourage the pastors, and you and I can play a part in that since we ourselves have been in, you know, congregational ministers.
Boy, that's encouraging. I've never seen that much interest in homeschooling amongst the pastors. And it does take a bit of moral courage to stand against the flow, but I think it's maybe getting a little bit easier following the COVID-19 crisis in which the church and the schools were caught in the crosshairs. And now, for some reason, it seems the Lord is shaking up the nation and opening up the floodgates to an increased interest in home education. What do you attribute that to directly? Why are people doing this?
I think the COVID shutdown really brought out sentiment that was there. It was, people were already upset with the public school, with the inertia, fear, cowardice, you know, different things kept them from taking a step of faith and pulling their kids out or starting a Christian school. But when they were shut down anyway, you know, they said to themselves, I'm just kind of, you know, a little conjecture here, you know, we didn't want to be there anyway. We knew it was hurting our children, and we can do it ourselves. And they, their children were happier, and so the pastors are suddenly being presented with their members saying, look, pastor, it's time to get your, you know, get yourself in gear, and let's get a school in our church. So we're seeing that phenomenon, too. I'm right now consulting with three different groups, two in my state and one in Texas, that are starting up, you know, private Christian schools in the next 6 months or a year, and some will start this fall, but others may have to wait a year because it takes a while to do that. And we're seeing that phenomenon all over the country. So we're in a what I call a kairos moment. That's the, you know, Greek word for opportune time, and we think it's a once in a 100-year moment for the growth of Christian schools and homeschooling nationally and maybe internationally. 55 million children were suddenly home in March of last year, just suddenly home. And we think Brian Ray and others who you know have done some research, and they're saying it's the permanent homeschooling is going to jump from 2.5 million to 5 or 6 million minimally, and it might even be much higher. So that's why I'm happy to be on your show today, because I know your people are already engaged in this, and your members and your supporters, in particular there in Colorado, you have a strong movement already in play, and you reach out internationally to encourage our people to get aggressive these next 6 weeks before the schools reopen, because people are making their decisions right now.
It turns out that the homeschool population has burgeoned. The best numbers I had in 2019 were produced by Pew Research, 3 million homeschoolers in America as of December 2019. I'm guessing we're close to 8 million now. That's out of 56 million, which means you're pushing into the 12, 14, 15% of the U.S. population now homeschooling. And those numbers substantiated by a recent article that records the homeschool application submitted to the California Department of Education. There were 34,715 private school affidavits for 5 children or less submitted during the most recent curricular year. And that's up from 14,548 in the 2018-2019 school year, which means that since the 2018-2019 school year, California, at least on this sampling, increased the public or homeschool population by 250%. That's in just 2 years. And that's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's there's a national movement afoot, and it's pretty hard for us to, you know, quantify it right now because it's not over. I do believe that come September or late August, when public schools reopen, that'll be a watershed moment as well. But yes, Brian Ray, who tends to underplay the numbers, you know, he's always very careful, and we know how good he is, and we respect him a lot. He's saying 5 or 6 million new homeschoolers, permanent homeschoolers. So it could be 8 million. We just don't know for sure right now. But also, we know there's a growth in private campus Christian schools. There's a school here in town that's 10 years old, and they've gone from 100 students to 700, you know, in the 10-year period, and now they have a huge waiting list, and they cannot accommodate hundreds of children that want to get into the school. So we know that's happening with the private campus Christian schools.
Well, one of the blessings to this, and, you know, this has always been one of the things that I've pressed for, and that is we want to see something of a restoration of liberty, a restoration of a decentralized system of education across America, and to see that the homeschool movement is breaking the back of the public school monopoly, the uniformity of worldview that is imposed, basically the materialistic, Darwinistic, humanistic worldview that is imposed by mandate of the Supreme Court of the United States upon all the public schools across America, to break the back of that uniformity, that public school monopoly is only going to be a blessing to the future of America, to the future of American kids, to the future of American institutions, to the future of American liberties. So, you know, I see it that way. And yet there are other reasons for Christian families to pull their kids out of the public schools, not just to protest, you know, the totalitarian socialistic system that is increasing year by year in America, in almost every institution. Certainly politics and government control of every aspect of life has only increased in the last 4 years, big time, especially in terms of government funding and the funding of the U.S. federal government. So all that is concerning. But so, you know, we can do our little part of breaking the back of this massive government-funded educational institution. We can do our piece. But here's my question for you, Ray. What is the number one reason for Christian parents to get their kids out of the public schools? It's not just to protest totalitarianism. There's something else here, isn't there?
Right. We take the position with the exodus mandate, and so same with public school exit, that the scriptures assign the education of children to the family with assistance from the church and not government. So we believe it's a God-ordained role, and we think all of Scripture is, you know, is in harmony with itself on this, and there's no exceptions. The only text that I find people try to use to come against what I'm saying is the salt and light verses in Matthew 5:13-14. They say Jesus, you know, wants little children to be in pagan schools, so it'll be salt and light. And I just think it's absurd, and it's an abuse of that text. He never commanded that or urged that. It just is a general statement of Christian behavior of Christians in all contexts, but it's certainly not a command to put little children in harm's way. So we stand there. We say this is an obedience to God question.
Okay.
So we are ultimately not a protest movement, even though we're happy for the protest. And I like the example of Luther. If you really look at the 95 Theses that he posted on the door of the church in Wittenberg, I think in 1517, they were a protest initially. If you look at it carefully, he was still, you might say, part of the Catholic Church. And the theology of the Reformation unfolded and, you know, came forth over the next, you know, several decades. And that's where people like you come in, Kevin. You have not been a protest man. You have been a theological man. And I've got some of your books, and you're really one of the great systematic writers on these topics. And I pray in the Lord that your work will flourish even more in the future as this movement grows. People are leaving because they're unhappy, and then they look around and say, hey, does the Bible have anything to say about this?
Yep.
Did anybody write anything on this? And oh my, there's so much rich theology. I came across Machen's book about 2000, year 2000, called Education, Christianity, and the State.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And we had Yeah, and you might have a special program on that because he was the leading Protestant theologian in the nation at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had launched Exodus Mandate 3 years before, and I read that, and I felt like I'd dug a gold mine up in my backyard. He was the greatest theologian of his day,
yeah,
making some of the same points that I was making.
Some of the most prophetic words ever written in the modern century came from J. Gresham Machen, his book on education, Gordon Clark. I'd throw in Rush Dooney, a few other guys. These were the forerunners,
yeah,
you know, the philosophers of the 1930s, yeah, 40s, and 50s, and 60s. But we have an obligation. I mean, things are, you know, hundreds of times worse than they were back then. You know, they weren't transgendering the schools in 1935 when J. Gresham Machen was writing these things. So, no, right now things are far, far worse. These guys were just saying it's time to get ready. It's time to produce a Christ-centered, biblical worldview-based form of education. And, you know, we've been trying to get those wheels on the road and put it into curriculum for the last 15 years of this ministry's life. And by God's grace, I think we have more resources today than we ever have, and we're thankful for that. But talk to us just a little bit more about how we can encourage others, our pastors, our elders, our friends, brothers and sisters in the church, to get on board the Exodus Mandate.
Well, you know, if you can get my little pamphlet taking cover in the hands of some of them there, and we could send you a digital version. I know your reach is strong in Colorado, but I think what's happening is a lot of them are just coming around to it. You know, you can't explain how revivals work. I remember the words of Jesus in John 5:17. I just love this text. And he says, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." God has been working providentially in the hearts and minds of people when there seemed to be not much happening. So now things are changing in our favor. And it was, you know, God was working. And so I think we need to, you know, capitalize on it, having programs like you're doing today where you encourage it, have, you know, emphasizing reaching out to pastors in Colorado like they're doing, and I know you are doing that some, like they're doing in Illinois right now. It's just amazing.
These are great ideas, and I hope these can be replicated.
Around the state. You could probably have conferences around the state where you bring in people to speak. Now, of course, you should bring in yourself because I've heard you speak and preach several times. And you could bring in some guests. Alex Newman is doing a lot of this. I'm doing some of it. And just, you know, like they did in Illinois, they had like six different meetings around the state, and I think a total of about 1,000 people. Pastors showed up at six different locations. They weren't all in one location, of course, spread out.
Well, hopefully this can be replicated in all 50 states because now is the time. The iron is hot. Let's strike now. I think that's the message today from E. Ray Moore and the Exodus Mandate on this edition of the program. We have an opportunity. It's never been better. Let's be sure we take advantage of it. That's the message, right, Ray?
Yes. Can we put the webpage out a couple more times?
Go.
ExodusMandate.org. That's my personal webpage, and we have a lot of information there, and that's about 25 years old. But for information on how to get started, curricular questions, models, go to publicschoolexit.com. And then I'd leave you with one text, the words of Jesus in John 9:4. I must do the works of him who sent me while it is today, for the night cometh when no man can work.
That's a prophetic word for the present day. We've got the opportunity now. The lights are on. The dawn is now. Let's get up. Let's get out. Let's homeschool. And again, it's not just escaping, but as we like to say, it's embracing. It's not just escaping the transgendered bathrooms. It's embracing a paideia training, an education program in the fear of God and in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what has been commanded to us. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Go according to the directions of Jesus here. And remember, we as parents have responsibility to disciple our children as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. The Word of God must be integrated into our children's experience, into our children's education, into every curriculum, every class, as a front lip before their eyes, an integration of the Word of God into every aspect of our children's lives. That's the critical element. More than anything else, be sure that you have a Word-integrated, a God-integrated education for your children. That's basic. And E. Ray Moore has been our guest on this edition of the program. Again, the websites are publicschoolexit.com and exodusmandate.com as well. Ray, thanks so much. Appreciate you joining us. May God continue to bless your ministry, your efforts, and don't just give up. Keep going.
Thank you, and God be with you.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.